We're gonna really give this a go. So, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the 100K Stylist Podcast, where we, and by that I mostly mean I, talk about how to become a six-figure earning independent hairstylist. So my entire goal with this podcast is to help you succeed. And I really hope that as this podcast grows, that my listeners' bank accounts also grow at the same time, because then I will know that I'm doing what I set forth to do. So I want to hop into it today. I know eventually, so we all love some podcasts, right? And usually we talk a whole lot before we jump into the material. And I'm pretty sure I'll get there eventually. But right now, I really just want to give you guys the value and kind of dive into the guts of what I'm going to be talking about. So as you saw by the title, this is the top five reasons why most hairstylists aren't making enough money. I just feel as though, based on all the conversations I've had and my own lived experience, that it is extremely common for hairstylists to be living paycheck to paycheck and struggling financially and thinking, oh, I need a side hustle or I need all these different things because I'm not making enough money behind the chair. But the problem is not that there's not enough money to be made behind the chair. There's plenty of money to be made behind the chair. Couple of fun facts, that there are over a million registered hairstylists practicing in the U.S. alone. In addition, there are over, in just hair care services, there's over $20 billion in revenue annually. Billion. So I don't think we can say that there's not enough money to be made behind the chair, because hot damn, there's plenty of money to be made behind the chair. So since this is the first podcast, I am going to preface this by saying that pretty much everything that I do and talk about is really directed toward independent hairstylists. That's not to say that if you're a commissioned stylist, you can't get anything out of this, because you absolutely can. There's a lot to learn, and a lot that you can implement while you are, you know, in a commissioned situation. However, the more that you get to know me and read whatever I write and listen to what I record, you will realize that I am not an advocate for spending a long time in your career as a commission hairstylist. Don't come for me, commission hairstylists. I love you as well. You're just not my audience. Shh. Okay, so let's dive in. The top reason, or the first reason, not necessarily the top one, is that you are not upselling your current clients. Every time I sit down with a stylist, they almost always express that one of their top challenges is bringing in new clients. And they're of the mindset that more clients equal more money. And in some ways that is true. But for a lot of stylists, the only thing more clients equals is more time spent behind the chair. And without implementing other changes, you're not going to necessarily see the fruits of that labor show up in your bank account. So your number one concern as an independent hairstylist should be the clients who are already on your book, already in your chair. These are your ride or die, your loyal followers. They've come with you from place to place, and they were cheering you on the loudest when you decided to branch out on your own. You don't need to spend time worrying and stressing about the people who are not in your chair yet. You need to be optimizing the ones that already are. So what does that look like? Upselling. And it's not, I think that a lot of times there's like this negative connotation with upselling, that you're trying to like give your clients, you know, stuff that they don't need. And that is not what this is about. Don't be that guy. Like, this isn't about that. Your goal as a hairstylist is to care for your clients. You need to get them, you know, their whole goal is knowing you, liking you, trusting you. No, like, trust factor. You'll hear me talk about that a lot. And at the end of the day, the whole point is to give your clients more of what they need. You know, they come to you because you're the expert. So at the beginning of your day, as you're looking at your schedule, consider what each person might need. You know, the easiest add-on is almost always some form of conditioning treatment. So if it's a color service, maybe it's a conditioning treatment you're mixing into your color formula. You know, maybe it's an express treatment at the shampoo bowl. But either way, your cost per treatment is pennies on the dollar, and can easily add a minimum of $20 to every service. So suddenly your $50 haircut has turned into a $70 haircut, you know, and if you're offering that to every guest, you know, every haircutting guest that's in your chair that day, you know, you've practically, by the end of the day, you might as well have done two extra haircuts because you've added $20 on to every service you've done. You know, it adds up really fast. So yes, these things matter. These, you know, $20 treatments, and hell, if they're more than that, by all means. You know, and truthfully, like, what client who sits in your chair wouldn't benefit from having more moisture in their hair? I mean, it's a dry world out there, guys. Like, this is not complicated. So people want to love their hair. It's not going to happen if it's all crunchy and dull. You know, they go home a few days later, they shampoo out your style, and their hair's, you know, suddenly back to being subpar. So if you are offering them conditioning treatments and doing things to help them so that their hair is still great, they're going to pay for that, you know? And like I said, all of a sudden you've got all this money that you're adding onto services. It adds up really fast, really fast. So point number two, you're not selling product. And I can practically hear you all cringing at the very mention of those two words that shall not be spoken: retail sales. Oh God, I know. But you know what? I refuse to understand why so many hairstylists are running screaming from selling product. Like, if you fancy yourself a professional and you're not selling product, I'm gonna argue your status as a professional, okay? Like, again, don't come for me, just listen. So unless your clients are, you know, I don't know, the hippies that don't ever shampoo their hair, every single person who sits down in your chair shampoos and conditions their hair multiple times a week or month, whatever. Many of them also use some sort of styling product. And most of the time, if they're not getting that product from you, they don't even know for sure if it's working. They just use it because they saw it at Target and it said anti-frizz, right? But in acquiring these products, they're giving their money to someone, but usually it's a big box store rather than you. So I guess my question is, you know, why then do you as the hair professional feel like you're being salesy when talking to your clients about things they're already spending money on? You know, and then, you know, I also hear stylists like, oh, but Ronnie, a lot of my clients don't use any styling products at home. To which my reply to you would be, well, whose fault is that? Right? So your clients want great hair. It's why they're in your chair. And I'm going to assume that you're giving them just like, you know, gold medal worthy cuts and colors. So why then, my loves, are you sending them on their way with no guidance as to how they're going to make their hair look that good on their own? You are doing them a disservice. And in addition, you're then doing yourself a disservice. So your clients are your walking billboards. They're your shining advertisements that, if you're doing things correctly, you'll allow your business to grow effortlessly. You know, but that's not going to happen if you're not educating them on how to style their hair and what they need to do in order to recreate these looks at home. It's product, right? So you need to be educating your clients about styling and styling product. You are murdering your no-like trust factor as well as your income if your clients are buying product from someone else. If you are the one selling them these products, you're immediately more valuable to them, and they are much more likely to remain loyal. You know, and of course, like, one of the cringiest things is when I hear stylists talk about how expensive salon products are. And I know some of you are saying it. And truthfully, I'm not sure, like, how you call yourself a professional while you're saying this, but I digress. Many salon products, you know, are expensive, but they're not expensive just for the sake of being expensive. You know, their price tag is reflecting the quality. They reflect the fact that your client's not going to have to worry about buildup, and they're going to be able to know that when you tell them this is going to help keep your hair from frizzing out when it gets humid outside, that it's actually going to work. You know, you're paying for the higher end ingredients, you're paying for a high end result. And you as the stylist need to know that. Like, you can't be on there over there thinking like, oh gosh, yeah, this is expensive and it's not worth it. Like, what are you even doing? Like, do you know what you do for a living? You know, and frequently when I'd be starting with a new client who was a product virgin, I talk them through the entire styling process. So I'm telling them exactly why I'm using each product. And sometimes they'd buy all of them. Other times they'd say, you know, well, if I were only going to start with one of these, which would you recommend? And then they'd walk away with at least one, though many times they ended up getting multiple anyway. You know, so once they use these products at home and following the instructions you gave them, because I know that you're never giving a client product and not telling them exactly how to use it, but they'll see how much easier it is to have great looking hair when you have great product. And immediately they start loving you even more because you did this for them, right? Like, this was your gift to them. You know, but sending them home to slather cheap product over your haircut and color is like, they're not going to be able to get it to look like you did, and their trust in you, as well as their trust in their own styling capability, weakens. You know, you're cheapening their experience. So you need to start realizing that you're not selling, you're educating. And repeat that as many times as you need to. I'm not selling, I'm educating. Until you realize it's true. You know, I used to be totally afraid of retail sales as well. But after several months of swallowing my fear and talking to my clients about product, much to my relief, they started buying it in droves. 1 year, and this was while I was still commissioned, was 1 year I sold almost 40 grand worth of product by myself. So in doing that, I started asking some of my clients who'd been with me for a long time if they ever felt like I was selling to them. Because I like to check in, and I'm not afraid of hearing the tough truths, and you shouldn't be either. But all of them said no. They were like, I don't ever feel like you're selling to me. You know, they say, you've educated me so much on my own hair and what to use. And, you know, it's never felt anything other than that you want me to have the best possible hair. And I appreciate it. They actually appreciated me talking to them about product. And many of them said that none of their previous stylists had ever done that. Oh, guys, like, how many of you are those stylists that you're just like not talking to them about it? Don't decide for your clients how they're going to spend their money. It's rude. That's not your place. Stay in your lane, you know, and additionally, as an independent stylist, you get to decide which product line you carry, which means you can decide which lines have a price point best suited to your clientele. You know, if they're not going to pay like Orbe prices where a single shampoo is, you know, 12 ounces and, you know, $60, then pick a different line, pick a line that's not as expensive, but still delivers in quality. You know, and the last thing that I will say on this topic is that several hairstylists have told me that they're not selling because they don't want to have to deal with taxes. I'm not entirely sure what they meant by this, because adding tax to each product as you sell them is not difficult, even remotely. And doing taxes when you sell both services and products is truly not a big deal. I should know. I've had to do it multiple times. So my response to this is that I call bullshit. I call that you're being lazy. And also, you need to hire a CPA to do your taxes. It will take a load of stress off of you. And I have a great one if you need a recommendation. So, you could find 100 reasons to not be selling product to your clients. But all you're doing is holding yourself back from a very lucrative stream of income. And telling your clients you don't really care how their hair looks after they leave your chair. So, if they're making the investment to have a professional do their hair, they'll make an investment to buy product and take care of it. So, on that note, let's move on to point number 3, where I would like to talk to you about what you're charging for your services. I'd like to start by asking a few questions. When was the last time you raised your prices? And what are other stylists in your area charging for similar services? And what feelings come up when I say, hey, stylist, you need to raise your prices? I've talked to stylists who haven't raised their prices in years, and they're wicked talented and have a book full of clients, and they're still charging the same price for a haircut as they did 5 years ago. I mean, what the hell, y'all? And I'm not going to say charge what you're worth, because for one reason or another, artistic people recoil at that statement. But I'm going to ask you to consider what you're worth. What is your time worth? What is all the furthering education you've had worth? What is it worth to look at your book full of clients and realize people love you? They love the hair that you've given them. They're paying for your creativity and expertise. What is that worth to you? Do you see yourself as being worthy of not living paycheck to paycheck, or are you married to the struggle? Do you see the struggle as being normal? I talk to my clients about their pricing all the time, and it's not about suddenly jacking up your prices, because sometimes they really are charging well for their services, but many times they're not. And a lot of those times they're, you know, they waver on the cost of things because the higher the client's ticket price inches up, the more they start sweating and thinking about how it, you know, how to make it cheaper. Stop doing that. You know, first of all, if your pricing isn't part of your consultation, you're consulting wrong. So this isn't about surprising your clients at the end of a service, you know, with a crazy high bill. Your clients need to know what to expect before you do anything to their hair. And if the cost of what you're discussing is making them squirm, then give them options, you know, but don't start adding free things on to cushion the blow, you know, or skip important steps that will keep their hair healthy because they don't want to pay for them. Don't sacrifice the integrity of your service because their budget's tight. You can't do that. You know, instead tell them, hey, you know, I totally get that. And if you want the cost to be lower, you know, we can go this route instead. It won't get you the exact result you're looking for, but we can break this up into several appointments, you know, or something to that effect. You know, if a client comes in wanting electric purple hair and their budget's $100, you know, what are you going to say to them? Like, well, next? No. But you could say, like, well, we can't really do your entire head in electric purple for $100, but we could do a single panel for that much. You know, get creative, give them options, but don't start giving away things for free or super discounted. It's okay if people can't always afford exactly what they want. By discounting things and wavering on price, all you're doing is telling your clients that your pricing is negotiable. And that is one of my biggest pet peeves with hairstylists, because if you consider other service industry jobs, you know, people aren't going into restaurants and bartering for the price of their meal. You know, they're not going to the dentist and being like, well, I really need this cleaning, but also I need that crown. So, like, how can you cut me a deal? You know, I don't know. Maybe some people do. I don't know. But those aren't my people, and I don't think they should be yours either. You get to set the tone for how pricing conversations go in your salon. Your prices are what they are. Give options, not discounts. And when you do, you know, when you raise your prices, you are going to risk losing clients. Like, that's true. But the reality is that you won't lose many. And every time, I mean, for me, every time I raise my prices to try and create more space in my schedule, I rarely lost more than one or two people. Your clients will pay. And the ones who can't will find someone better suited to their budget. You're not raising your prices to spite anyone. You're raising them in order to create a better quality of life for yourself. And if it, you know, if it counts for you, you're also for your family. You know, you need to have a good work-life balance. And the way to do that is by making sure you're charging your, you know, appropriately. You know, and lastly about this, I'll say, consider how much time something is taking you versus what you're charging. You know, if you spend 2 hours with a client and their grand total is $60, you've just worked for $30 an hour, which maybe to you, this sounds like a lot of money, but once you factor in taxes, plus the money you have to take out for salon overhead costs, this is not a lot of money. So something that I practiced was that I never worked for less than $50 an hour because my women's cuts were $50 and took me about an hour. So anything that I was doing, if anything that took an hour or longer, it was always $50 per hour or more, depending on the service. So, you know, when broken down into an hourly wage, that's more than acceptable. you know, if your average is $50 an hour and you're working on, you know, if you're working like an average schedule, let's say like 40 hours a week and, you know, 54 weeks a year, you'd be grossing $108,000 a year. And that's before factoring in the money that you'd be making off of retail. So again, that's working at $50 an hour, 40 hours a week, 54 weeks a year. Go ahead and let that sink in. $108,000 grossed before factoring in retail sales. So there's that. So fourth point, your discounting services. I'm going to make this easy and say the only discounts you should ever be giving are for your existing clients when they refer a new client to you. If you're a person who's like, come in for a color and your haircut's on me, you know, kind of stylist, I'm going to stop you right there. And let me ask you, do you want clients who are looking for a discount or do you want clients who are looking for great hair? Clients who start coming into you because you promised a percentage off or a freebie for coming in will always be looking for ways to get you to charge them less. Very rarely are these clients going to turn into your most loyal following. So you do not need to discount your services in order to attract new clients. You need to let your work and your happy and product buying clients speak for themselves. And probably most importantly, you need to believe wholeheartedly that your work is worth what you're charging and stand firmly in that truth. Does this mean I've never discounted a service in my life? No. You know, I absolutely, on occasion, will give people a discount for various reasons. You know, I had a client that, so when I was opening my salon, there was a bank error and it totally froze me out of my account. I was 2 weeks until open and had none of the money that I had for the salon available to me. And this client, you know, was asking me what was going on, and I told her, and she totally saved my ass and gave me the cash to cover my expenses until the bank got their shit together. So the next time I saw her, you know, not only did I pay her back every penny, but I didn't charge her for her haircut that day. And she had zero expectation of special treatment because of it. But, you know, if ever there was a time to give away something for free, it was then. That's the magic of being independent. You can choose to give people things whenever it suits you. Just don't do it too often or you're going to lose money, you know. But it's fun to do now and then. If you want to make six figures behind the chair, and you want every client who sits down to be your dream client, then you have to stop offering these asinine, like, new client specials. And that brings me to my final point, which is you're taking anyone who's willing to pay. So one of my most used statements in life is, not everyone is for me and I am not for everyone. So this is true in a multitude of ways, and one is behind the chair. You're not going to vibe well with every single person who books an appointment with you. Not everyone is your client. So if you're trying to make everyone your client, you're going to end up miserable. And with a book full of people, you're starting to resent. I mean, you know, my goal is to be able to look at my schedule every day and never have a moment of dread about any client's name I saw. Like, and it took some time and consistency, but eventually I landed there. If you have a client who you feel like it's impossible to communicate effectively with, they're probably not your client. If they're always calling or coming back in for corrections, they're probably not your client. You know, of course I'm saying all of this assuming that you're not doing shoddy work, but you get my point. I once inherited a client from another stylist who left when I was still at a commission salon. And, you know, personality-wise, this woman was a little bit manic, but, you know, I liked her. She was cool. But we could not get on the same page about her hair ever. And she kept coming back to me, and she even followed me to the next salon I was at. But, like, every 6 weeks when I saw her name on my book, I would get that, like, just dreaded hollow feeling in my gut. And our consultations always lasted for, like, at least a half hour. And it felt like we just never made progress. So eventually I told her that I wanted her to go see another stylist to talk about options that I might be missing. And I gave her the stylist information and everything, and she was totally taken aback by it. But I made her the priority. I said, you know, I feel like we're losing something in translation here, and my number one priority is that you love your hair. And if I can't be the person to make that happen, then I want to help you find a stylist who can. So, you know, now between you and me, I don't know if such a stylist exists for her, to be totally honest, but I had to try. And I believe she came back maybe one more time after that, but then I never heard from her again. And that was really for the best, for sure for me. And I hope for her too. You know, I hope eventually she found a stylist that could miraculously give her the hair that she did not have. So that is, I guess, my question for you is, have you ever considered handing a client off to another stylist, or is your ego too big to ever admit defeat? By letting go of clients who weren't meant for me, I made room for my dream clients. So by the time I opened my salon, my existing clients were amazing. And because I set that kind of tone, both in my salon and online, 9 out of 10 people who reached out to me for appointments were more of my dream clients. You know, so just because someone comes, and then, you know, on the other side of that is, just because someone comes in loaded with money doesn't necessarily mean they're a great fit for you either. So personally, I would always rather have an empty space in my day than fill it with anyone who opens their wallet. You'll never catch me posting on social media like, last minute opening this Wednesday, who wants it? You know, especially if it's then topped off with like, free haircut with a color service. Like, oh God, I cringe. I cringe every time. You know, obviously if you have a waiting list, use that to fill an open spot. But, you know, contact those people and see if they want in. But don't just toss up a Facebook status and see who bites. Like, I don't know about you, but I want people who plan ahead. and will pre-book their next appointments, because last-minute clients rarely turn into people who pre-book and are super consistent. So that is my spiel for you about why hairstylists aren't making enough money. So to recap, you need to start adding services onto your existing clients' appointments. You're missing out on major income if you're not selling product, and don't undercharge for your services. For the love of all things hairy, stop discounting things, and stop taking everyone and their mother just for the sake of filling your book. Have standards. Hire ones. That's all I got for you guys today. I hope you found some value in this. If you did, please drop a comment. Feel free to reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. And until next time,